All right, let's talk to Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation, Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. Listen to Ozzy. That's nice.
Yes.
How's he doing?
Well, I saw Wolfgang's not going to be on the Ozzy tribute show. I saw that.
Is that right? What happened?
The Creed tour that he's on starts the very next day, so he couldn't make it.
Oh.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. So, it's too bad. He was very disappointed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I know, man. That's crazy.
Yep.
I have a bunch of questions for you. 203-882-9757. If you can call or text any concert question or memory that you have, call it into Jimmy. 203-882-9757. Call or text. I want to play you a soundbite from Mike Lapatino, your good friend.
Yes.
And tell me what you think is happening when you hear this soundbite.
All right. So how far do we get on that list?
Whoa.
Yep.
Yep. Pop is a catalyst.
Yeah.
Well, I know he doesn't drink. So he was smoking or I don't know what he was doing. Space. We all get a little spacey.
Right.
All right. So how far?
How about the second part?
Yeah.
So he was doing a top 10 list for us the other day.
Yes.
Was it
top
yesterday?
10
yesterday.
Of what?
Was it yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Feels like 2 days ago.
Yep.
Top 10 what?
It was top 10 great places to visit in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, summer like vacation spots, yeah.
Right. And then he overslept, so he didn't make the first break.
Right.
And then he came in on the second break, and he was making coffee. And that's him waking up and making coffee.
Okay. Get on that list. All right, so how far?
Sounds like he's making something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, I agree.
He just called it coffee.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor.
It sounded like a plop.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yes. Thank
Ding, you win.
Yay.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Diana in Wethersfield.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all?
Hey. Good, thank you.
I picked my pick for a concert ticket that Jimmy owes me.
For a Super Bowl.
Oh. Huh?
Yeah. You should be clearer about that.
Yeah.
How many?
I'm sorry.
How many people?
I don't know how many people I've lost to, but it certainly seems like a lot more than I lost
three.
To.
How many
three.
Were there, Phil?
Three.
I think it was four. Boston John, we had, I'm looking up the list.
It was
Alan, Al, and Diana.
Okay.
That's all. I'm the last
show. Pick your show.
Yeah, what do you got?
Stevie Nicks for one of my best friends' birthdays is going to be like the day before.
Stevie Nicks? Okay, send me an email. We'll take care of it.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
See that? That's crazy.
Holy expletive.
Right. I hear a second plop right
saying
now.
It that way.
I hear a second plop right now.
Diana, what was your first concert?
David Bowie, I want to say 1985. Yeah, 1985, I think it was.
Okay.
Modern Love and that whole tour.
Yeah, okay.
Where at the Civic Center?
In Connecticut?
At the Hartford Civic Center, yeah.
Oh, nice. Wow. That was one of your shows, Jimmy.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Modern Love Tour.
Yeah.
Jimmy, is that the show where David wasn't going to, like, you had to hand him a paper or something?
No, that was the New Haven Coliseum in the 70s.
Wasn't every
that was
show.
A bad moment in my life. I actually lied to everybody on stage. It said he got served with a summons backstage for a lawsuit for not showing up at a show in Buffalo, I believe it was. So he refused to go back on stage. So the manager comes up and says, he's not coming back on stage. So I get up on stage and I decide, okay, what am I going to do here? People are stomping, stomping, stomping. So I got up on stage and I proceeded to lie to everybody and say that David has left the building. And as I'm finishing saying David has left the building, he's walking up behind me. It was horrible. And then he sang Rebel Rebel. I remember he sang Rebel Rebel as his encore.
Right. He left, but he came right back.
So what, the sheriff who was serving the paper was waiting backstage for him to come off during the encore and gave it to him during the...
Between the encore and the last
tacky.
Song, which is what we tell the sheriff not to do. Wait till the show's over.
Let him
I would
finish.
Say,
yeah.
When the lights go on and the people are leaving, Then you can serve whatever you need to serve. And it happened with Whitney Houston at the New Haven Coliseum also, but they did wait till the end of the show for Whitney Houston.
Wow.
Huh. What was Whitney Houston served for?
Same sort of thing. She didn't show up at a show, and the promoter sued her, and us promoters do stick together.
Right.
So, same thing. I said, wait, and this sheriff said, do this serving. The sheriff waited, and then the show was over, and the sheriff was really smart. I said, okay, now you can serve her, but don't tell anybody I told you to do it, because I don't want to get in trouble with Whitney Houston.
That's right, no.
Oh, what a surprise. I don't know how this person got backstage.
They were just a waiter.
They flashed a badge.
Right.
We had to let him through.
Yeah.
I'll fire that security guy. That's all.
Right. Well, and was Whitney Houston selling out then? See, we think of her now as this figure, like on Mount Rushmore.
But yeah.
Was she that when?
No.
No.
No, you're right. You're
up and coming.
Her live performances did not match her recording performances. She was awkward live when she sang.
Really?
And her voice was amazing, and her songs were amazing, but live, she just didn't have it.
Oh.
Which happens with some artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, people skills.
Well, some people want to be in front of people, and some people don't.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, some of these people suffer from anxiety. They don't want to go out. They're forced to do it to promote the record.
Like stage fright, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's stage fright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. She just wasn't a great live performer, and the audience recognized it, and they didn't come out to the show. It was just like that. We had her at the New Haven Coliseum, and she couldn't even sell out the New Haven Coliseum.
Wow.
Oh, damn.
Do you remember what year that was?
87.
Phil, can you look at what she was touring? I want to just kind of see where she was in her career. I think by 87, she was red hot on the charts.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, that sounds like her kind of year, yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. What'd you say?
That was my very first concert.
It was?
Whitney Houston at the New Haven Coliseum.
Whoa. Wow.
Jimmy, she was one of the three people who went. What do you remember from that show, Ruth?
I went with my dad, and I remember that I don't remember how many people were there, but we were sitting on one of the upper levels, and I just remember it was very simple. It was just her and a spotlight and that incredible voice.
You know what the name of the tour was?
It was during the Whitney album, I believe. That one.
Wow. Oh. That's her knee shaking. Getting nervous.
Yeah. It was so exciting. Seeing her.
That's kind of a first, kind of a great first concert, right?
Seriously, a diva.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's big. That's
legendary person.
That's one to remember, no question about it.
If she were alive today, I mean, she'd be stadium.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. It's a different business right now. It was in November of 1987 when that show was.
Right.
Gary and Nugatuck.
Yay.
Hey.
I think this is going to be one of AJ's favorite concerts. I seen Grand Funk Railroad at Shea Stadium back in 1972.
AJ wasn't even born in 1972.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I was a gleam in my dad's eye.
But AJ likes Grand Funk. I heard that through a little birdie.
Who told you that? I like one song by them, Bad Time. That's it.
Oh, you know, that's funny. That's their most melodic song, too. But
yeah.
Written by Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Todd Rundgren produced them.
Yeah.
I didn't know he wrote that, though. That's great. It didn't sound like Grand Funk. I love Grand Funk myself. I love them all the time.
Yeah, I just been Bad Time, my favorite song with them.
They had a weird career because they were really, really big, and they didn't play a lot, and they didn't do interviews.
Yep.
And then when they had not a great manager, and finally
Terry something it was. Yeah, the manager was weird.
Yeah, and then finally when they were like, all right, we'll do interviews, no one cared.
Yeah.
Right.
I just remember my sister had the album, and when you opened the album, the band was naked, and I came across, like, ah!
You sure?
Waxing.
You sure? You
waxing.
That's, that was your reaction?
Yes, completely. Yes. Yeah.
Jimmy, did you do any Grand Funk shows?
Oh, sure. Sure. I loved it. It was great. It was very exciting. Actually, I had people climbing the roof. They were so big, they were climbing the roof out in Ohio. I had them when they were in Ohio, when I was in Ohio.
Wow.
And I had them in Dayton, Ohio, when somebody fell through the roof of the arena in Dayton, Ohio, and landed right on the stage, about 5 feet from the drum kit.
They survived?
Yeah. He did a solo.
Did they survive?
The guy got up and walked out.
He said, I'm sorry, this is a bad time.
I must have picked a bad time.
My bad.
The drugs must have been really good back then.
They were some kind of wonderful.
Yeah. Or maybe he felt closer to home.
I'm home.
Man.
Wow, what a thump that must have been. Wow.
Oof.
It's hard to look cool after that. Must have knocked the wind out of him.
And everybody's doing a new dance now.
I was 19 years old. I thought it was okay. Little did I realize.
Now you got there. Locomotion.
Everybody do the thud.
Wow.
Right, slam dance.
That's the kind of thing that does not happen at a Whitney show.
No.
Right. Ann in Wallingford.
Yeah, hi. These are just a couple of memorable concerts, but I wondered if he had any stories about Laura Nyro. I saw Laura Nyro at the New Haven Coliseum in 1967. I saw the Doors in Bridgeport at the some kind of high school place, not New Haven, and that, I believe it was 1967. And then my first concert was Blood, Sweat, and Tears when Oakdale was in the Round.
Okay, Jimmy got here in 72 or one?
Yeah, my first show was January of 72. I did do Laura Nyro at the Bushnell in 76, I think it was. I did Laura Nyro at the Bushnell.
Oh.
And she was a Connecticut resident. She came up from, lived in Danbury.
Right. Oh, why do I not know who this is?
I have no idea, yeah.
You have no idea who Laura Nyro is? She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Now I feel
working
it.
Or
taking tickets?
Why
oh,
do I
she wrote
know?
So many hits
oh,
that other
really?
People sang.
Oh, okay.
She was her own artist, but she wrote. If you Googled Laura Nyro hits, you would be shocked at the number of
oh,
hits.
Really? Phil, can you do that, please?
Don Nyro, I know, is one with the fiddle and widened when one burned.
Yeah, but also Elton John, she was one of his mentors, he said recently.
I understand that because she was very melodic, like his music was, too.
Right.
It makes a
I
lot
thought
of
that
sense.
Was incredible.
Yeah, I had her in the Bushnell on March 5 of 76.
Wow.
I had her at the Bushnell then. But, you know, yeah, Connecticut resident, died very young, sadly, of cancer. And,
bummer.
Yeah, and she was quite the artist. She wrote a lot of hits for Three Dog Night, a lot of hits for Fifth Dimension, and a lot of songs, a lot of hits.
Phil, do you have a list?
You mentioned Fifth Dimension.
Thank you,
Wedding Bell Blues was one of the ones that popped up.
My
Three Dog Night, that'd be Eli's Coming, it seems like, was the big one there. She wrote, it's hard to like sift through this because it's just so much
Stone
information.
Soul Picnic, I think she wrote.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears, she wrote, and When I Die.
Oh, Bozzy just texted, wrote Stony End by Barbara Streisand.
I was going to save that for less, but, you know, thanks, Bozzy. I had that queued up to play at the end.
I was born from love.
Oh, I'm
my poor mother.
I don't remember this.
I do. My dad had AM radio in the car. So. Okay, I remember this.
This is Barbara Streisand?
Yeah.
Now I don't believe I want to see the morning. Going down the story.
Oh, I know this one.
Yes.
Holy crap.
This is not terrible, no.
Mm. Wow.
Huh.
No, she's deservedly in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You know, have you ever had a medical mishap on stage?
Well, we all know about what happened with Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Peter Frampton fell and broke ribs after he smoked a joint with you.
Right. Do you feel like we do? Call an ambulance, ambulance.
Only you've blamed me. Nobody else has ever blamed me.
Your weed. It's
even
the quality of your weed.
Listen, he didn't feel it when he broke his rib. I get credit for that, at least, that, right?
Exactly. That's right.
Right. Yeah. Rib sticking out.
He was able to do a whole show. That's good weed.
Damn straight, man.
It was the 70s. Who knew what the strength was?
It was
now you can look on a label and see what the THC level is. Now, then you didn't know. You had no
idea.
You had
to find out. Accident.
Smoked it and rolled the dice.
Like walking on the stage. Whoop, that was pretty potent.
There's an old, we talked about this before and someone called up and said they were there. So I don't think it's an urban legend. I think it really happened. But the Moody Blues were at Oakdale. This is back when it was outside. And, you know, with the lights and everything, it attracts bugs.
Oh, yeah.
And Justin Hayward, I think, was singing, and a beetle flew right into his throat.
Was during night flight sighting? Breathe deep.
And, you know, he couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And then there was this whole, is there a doctor in the house moment?
Oh.
And there was a doctor, and the doctor came up and got the beetle out, and they finished the show.
We put light bulb from mouth?
I don't know if it was Paul, John, Ringo, or George, but there was a beetle in his
throat. I'm a beetle.
Why am I stuck in his throat?
Good heavens.
Mike in Portland.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey.
I best concert I think I ever went to was at Madison Square Garden with Metallica with the San Francisco Symphony.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's nice.
Jimmy, how many Metallica shows do you think you've done?
You know, my last one was just in Syracuse in April. I probably done about 30, I would guess.
Wow. Damn.
Ooh.
We did a great show at the Garden, which was the release of one of their albums. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was their Black album, but I'm not really sure, where everybody got in for free, and we just played the album.
Oh, I was so hungover that show.
Wait, everyone got in free, and you just played? It was like an album release party.
Exactly.
At Madison Square Garden.
Right, right. Electra Records paid for it, I remember. I got the check from them.
Yeah.
I said, okay, this costs about $300,000. Who's paying? And the guy from Electra Records wrote a check out for $300,000.
Wow. Were you thinking, I should have said four?
Right. That was too quick.
They wrote it too fast.
Damn it.
Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation, on the show, taking your calls and texts. We're going to get to the texts in a second, but we have confirmation on Live 5. Mike in Southington.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey,
you were at that Moody Blues show?
Yeah, I'm actually a stagehand with Local 74. And before I joined that local, I was a kid working at the Oakdale as a stagehand. So that was probably like 93 or 94. And it's pretty much like you said, they were performing and he stopped and was like, that's what he said. Is there a doctor in the house?
Wow.
And there was a doctor and they went up the star aisle and it was pretty funny. I believe the doctor used a turkey baster and sucked it out of his ear.
Skins
was water. Oh, it was in his ear.
Oh, his ear. Okay.
Ooh, it was in his ear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Only pretty slightly funny. Better than being in your throat.
Right.
Well, way better if you're a singer.
I don't know about that. Yeah. You could at least swallow in your throat and your ear. How do you get it out?
Oh, man.
One way.
Yeah. Did he it's do funny. You would never think that you would hear, is there a doctor in the house?
Right. And, it seems like something from like a 1930s movie.
A cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah. did he do the turkey baster on the stage?
No, they took him off. They walked. Yeah, they walked up to star aisle and then right back. In between the star aisle and the backstage was just like a gated area, like curtains. And they did it right there.
Longest drum solo ever. Just keep playing.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Thanks for what you do too. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
All right, you too. Jimmy, did you have something with Ian Anderson where he had to cancel a show because someone threw a rose on stage and the thorn caught him in the eye?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
I remember. I had tickets for that show.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And it took him a couple of days to recover from it, too.
Please, people, don't throw stuff on stage.
Yeah.
The worst is coming up. Firecrackers. July 4th.
Oh.
Please don't throw firecrackers on stage.
Use your head.
Nobody likes it. Obviously, the artist doesn't like it. If you miss the stage, it hits the fans.
Right.
Don't throw fire. And it's right around the corner. And it happens. And David Lee Roth handled it better than anybody ever. Hmm. When David Lee Roth decided, somebody threw a firecracker on stage at the Coliseum in New Haven. And he told the band to quiet down. And he said, the next mother trucker that throws a You didn't have to dump me on that, did you?
No.
Okay, good. The next mother trucker that throws something on a firecracker on stage, I want you to bring him up. I'm personally going to beat his ass.
And he could.
And,
yes.
And he could. And everybody then points it. The person out. <get it? laughs>
Now that's like a movie. Everybody pointing at one guy.
Right. Yeah.
And we brought him down and we kicked his butt.
Nice.
We kicked his butt.
Nice.
When you say we,
like took a turn.
Well, my security guys did. I'm a little short Jew, so I'm not kicking.
I'm picturing you and Bozzy.
He's calling the guy's ass.
He's calling
the Bozzy and I would be watching.
Right. Kick him again.
Charlie. I'm not sure who's more chicken, him or me, but we're both chicken.
He said, sweep the leg.
Bozzy's having a good morning, by the way. He was like, Barbara Streisand and Whitney Houston on PLR. Great morning.
Don't get used to it.
Nope.
Dave Matthews Band coming to Mohegan Sun, ?
Right now, we're not holding dates in November, and we normally do, so hopefully it will happen, but right now he hasn't told us about a November tour yet.
Sonia from Seymour, Chris Stapleton, ?
Hopefully playing Mohegan Sun in February.
Cool.
We're holding dates.
Peter Wolf at Toads.
Not on tour right now, still working on his book tour, but if he ends up doing music, we'll bring him to Toads.
Dave from Meriden. Any more 50th anniversary shows planned for Toads?
Yes, but we can't say who yet.
Really?
Oh. Yes, but we are working on more.
Nice.
Yep.
Just
artists that we played here at PLR at one point.
Oh, sure.
Oh, man.
Huh. You know, when you do 50th anniversary, you got to reach back and look into the 80s, the 90s,
yeah.
The early part of this. Because they were big, and we want to bring it back when artists that played big shows. Like we did with Jack White about a year ago.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Yep.
Artemis Pyle's coming. He does better Lynyrd Skynyrd than Lynyrd Skynyrd, by the way.
Seriously.
That's Friday. That's tomorrow.
Yeah. Will the Doobie Brothers be coming to Connecticut this year?
We had them scheduled in Bridgeport with the Coral Reefer Band for July, and then they suddenly decided not to do that leg of the tour. So we'll bring it back. I think we'll bring it back sometime in the fall, probably to Mohegan Sun.
Let's see. This is text for Jimmy. Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs at Toad's Place.
Love to have them if they tour, but not aware of any East Coast dates right now.
Clean those knobs, please. It sounds gross.
All right. Sorry for everyone on the phone that we didn't get to. Jimmy, thank you so much. And we'll be on the phone with you next week.
Yep.
You'll be on vacation in the Hamptons, right?
Oh. Yep.
Oh, man. Yes. We're going to be on vacation somewhere at an undisclosed location from a tribe member's house.
Oh, that's so nice. Cool.
Yeah.
They know about it.
Jimmy's like, I'm glad I'm not going to be in.
Wait, that's my house. You idiots.
Jimmy, you're sitting on the couch with the Cheerios.
And a pig rig truck shows up.
That's right. All right, Jimmy Coplake, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.